I do a talk about LibreBoot, which is becoming GNU software.
Okay. I would shortly do the introduction. Herzlich willkommen zum Vortrag GNU LibreBoot, ein freies BIOS-Replacement. Und Tobias Platen wird diesen Vortrag halten. Die Vortragssprache ist Englisch.
I'm doing a talk about GNU LibreBoot, a free boot firmware. So first I'll do a short thing on GNU's history. GNU is the free operating system which uses the Linux kernel. So when people refer to Linux, then they sometimes are really talking about the GNU or GNU Linux system. GNU was started by Richard Stallman in 1983 as a replacement for the Unix system, which is proprietary, and he made his system upward compatible because from a technical point, Unix was a good system and he wanted to create a community. He wanted to be able, people who are already using Unix to switch to the GNU system. And such an operating system includes a linker, editor, shell, compiler, and the first project on which Richard Stallman worked was the Emacs tape distribution, where he made a free software definition because he sold copies of Emacs and people then complained that Emacs isn't free. And then he created the free software definition as a response, and later he decided to reuse existing code for the GNU system, and that was the GNU Mach kernel. And today free software is more important. I try to use exclusively free software, but in some cases, for example mobile phones, this is not yet possible. Now I come to the architecture of the PCs. The first PCs sold by IBM in 1981 had a non-free BIOS as a hardware abstraction layer. And this was closely tied to the hardware. So you couldn't run their DOS operating system on different types of hardware. And because the BIOS is encumbered by trade secrets and copyright, it had to be reverse engineered in a clean room fashion. And so the first PC clones, those with a Phoenix or otherwise BIOS, this is based on reverse engineering. The DOS operating system was 16-bit because original hardware was 16-bit, and Richard Stallman had decided not to support 60-bit machines to GNU, and GCC doesn't really support 16-bit code well. Then later, 32-bit processors became available and were used in PCs, but the proprietary DOS operating system still used 16-bit only. And then Linus Torvalds began writing his own kernel Linux, and this made it possible to use a PC in freedom if you combine Linux and GNU. And those early PCs in the 90s, they had the BIOS stored in ROM, so you cannot easily upgrade. There is usually, at that time, there was no backdoor. And today it is stored in the flash memory. It is pre-installed. And then with Linux, it could be only booted from a hard disk. And people wanted to put the Linux in the flash chip. And this led to Core Boot, which is a project to replace the core BIOS and be low BIOS functions with free software. Today, Core Boot initializes the hardware and then starts a payload. This payload could be the Linux kernel, but we normally put a bootloader in the BIOS, and this is GNU Grub for LibreBoot, but you can choose any payload. You could even use a Tetris game as a payload and play Tetris without a hard disk. And this, for this model of laptop which I use, there is a reverse engineered VGA BIOS included, which is needed to initialize the hardware, and so that the graphics card can be used by the Linux kernel. There are no BIOS restrictions because this Core Boot is free software. It isn't fully. It contains some blobs for some hardware, but there are no Wi-Fi card restrictions. You can use a Wi-Fi card that does not require blobs. And it offers real security. You can modify grub to boot only signed kernels and put your public key in the flash chip and write protect the flash chip. And you can use full disk encryption so that if someone changes the hard disk, it won't be possible to boot, so you can configure your BIOS. There isn't a setup program for the BIOS. You usually modify the grub config. And for some hardware types, Core Boot includes blobs. Those are removed by the LibreBoot project, which also makes it easier to build LibreBoot, Core Boot for some special hardware. And then finally, there is a payload included. This is done when you build Core Boot, then you have to also to build a payload. And Core Boot supports different payloads. And normally, it is CBIOS, but here for LibreBoot, we have decided not to support CBIOS. Now I talk about the Respect Your Freedom hardware certification by the Free Software Foundation. The Free Software Foundation, of course, doesn't allow any non-free blobs that are in the software, in the product software on the main CPU. This is a per seller certification, and this also includes OS. So each seller which sells Respect Your Freedom hardware needs to include a fully free OS. It is important to talk about software freedom, and they must not talk about open source. Or when they talk about open source, then they have to clarify that open source is something different, that it misses the points of freedom. And for current hardware, the old hardware like those 2008 ThinkPads work best with LibreBoot. They also have 3D acceleration. And in the future, LibreBoot will migrate to different hardware architectures, such as the ARM architecture, which is used in the Novena by Tsuchitako Usagi, and also in the BeagleBone. But those computers currently lack a fully free distribution of GNU Linux. They come with Debian, and GNU Geeks or Driscoll do not yet support those ARM platforms. But their hardware is documented enough to fully support free software. On modern Intel systems, there is also the Intel Management Engine, which prevents those machines from being FSF certified. And it cannot be removed on new systems. And because it requires proprietary signed firmware until Intel changes their policy, which I don't think that it will happen, you won't be able to use those machines in freedom. The Intel Active Management technology can be used to remote control PCs, and this can be a backdoor in some cases if that happens without the user knowing. The management engine has full access to the system RAM and the graphics card. It can be used to implement DRM without the operating system knowing or even spy features. And only for some systems, such as Intel GM45, it is possible to remove the management engine software and then use the freed memory area to store another free program, such as a kernel. So you can reuse that space that a proprietary program had occupied. Now I go to non-Intel processors. These are mainly those who are found in Raspberry Pi and other computers. Most of them don't support 3D rendering because there is no free software that can do the task. But on those old Intel systems which I use, it is possible to do 3D rendering and even run some games, such as Mindtest. And LibreBoot also supports old AMD. But newer AMD systems are unsupported because of some problems that are the same, such as that Intel has, and even some IAM systems which require signed bootloaders that are supported by Replicant are unsupported by LibreBoot. But there is PowerPC, which is a high-performance architecture, and that is much more open, so the Verilog files of the reference implementation have been published, and that is not a secret format. It might be that there are some patents, but currently even Google is working on replacing their Intel-based systems with PowerPC. And Google has begun contributing to Coreboot and uses Coreboot in most of their Chromebooks. And on the M-based Chromebooks, there is a free embedded controller firmware, but there is no free operating system, so they are not completely usable in Freedom yet, but they can be recommended to free software developers that want to port a free operating system. In some cases, reverse engineering can help, for example, for the Raspberry Pi, which has an undocumented GPU, and currently GNU Bin Utils supports the Raspberry Pi's video core GPU. And in the longer time, we require also the hardware design to be free. There is a free hardware design article by Richard Stallman, which explains those problems created through hardware manufacturing. And what you can do is implement your own CPU on an FPGA. And there is currently one model of an FPGA which has a free firmware or free toolchain, and it is possible to implement a small 16-bit computer and run some graphics stack test programs that control an LED matrix on that FPGA. Then I come to the problem of the mobile devices, which are currently most won't be supported because of several problems. The first software freedom problem is that the baseband firmware is non-free, and that is signed, and it is impossible to replace the firmware. And even if the firmware were free, GSM tracks the user by triangulating the signal, so they can create profiles where you are. But often there is a backdoor in the baseband software, so we can say that the baseband software is as bad as the management engine firmware. Most mobile SoCs don't have modem isolation, and the software on both sides is proprietary or partially proprietary. The internal Wi-Fi device on most devices requires non-free software, but that is not a major problem because you can use an external one, and there are some models, Wi-Fi devices that are certified respect your freedom. So you could use an external if you wanted to. For example, I use my Pandora in that way, or I use Ethernet or USB connections. And some more devices use the free bootloader that is common on Banana Pi and some other boards. And finally, the Pandora is the only mobile device that I can recommend. It is as free as the Lemote Yelong, which Richard Stallman had used in the past before he switched to a ThinkPad, but those devices don't support any 3D. Finally, I'm talking about free software businesses. the GPL is one of those free licenses with a strong copyleft, and it is, of course allows selling the software as long as you are respecting the user's freedom. And you are also allowed to sell hardware. And for Richard Stallman, he began selling those Emacs tapes, and he made money with this. And often software is bundled with hardware. This could be a tape or a complete usable computer. So it is possible to sell hardware, and it is also possible to use crowdfunding to fund hardware production, as it is the case for the Nitro Key. And free software activists can, of course, pressure hardware and fabless companies. That was sometimes successful because AMD had once released their source code under a free license, and some of those AMD boards are now supported by Libreboot. And of course, it is possible, even as a private seller, I'm doing this not as a Gewerbe. I now began starting Libreboot machines because I have the know-how how to install that. This can be used with a BeagleBone Black. And this last one is the link that you can note if you want to buy such Libreboot hardware. If you care about hardware, about freedom, you really should use Libreboot, and not everybody is able to install Libreboot, even if the hardware is compatible. And therefore, there are companies who sell Libreboot machines. And currently, there is no German language support for Libreboot. And I'm now trying to fix this hole. Now I'm at the end, and you can ask questions.
So, do we have any questions? I think you can ask questions in German or in English language.
Both languages, yes.
Sorry, a moment. Please talk to the microphone.
I didn't get the difference between core boot and Libre boot.
Core boot is the one part of Libre boot. So if you are talking about systems like Ubuntu, which is often branded as Ubuntu Linux, uh-huh. Ubuntu already also contains GNU software, and Libreboot is a distribution of Coreboot. But Libreboot itself doesn't contain Linux. You need a GNU Linux distribution to use Libreboot. And I recommend using a free GNU Linux distribution.
Okay. Thank you.
What's the fastest hardware you could buy to run Libreboot?
I think that are those AMD machines or those power PC-based machines which Raptor Engineering is working on. So if you cannot use an Intel i7, if you need more performance, you will need to use those machines that Raptor Engineering sells, but that is dependent on the use case. If you need 3D graphics, you should use one of those supported ThinkPads, because there is no graphics card available yet that works good with free software. And those AMD-based servers are also fast. But you could also use clustering solutions, BeagleBone Black cluster, if you want. I have read that somebody has built a Raspberry Pi cluster, and you could also, so that depends on the use case. But currently only AMD and Intel are working well.
Well, okay, I still got a question about these, you said these Raptor engineering boards, you mentioned them. Aren't these big PowerPC boards with multi-sockets? But I thought that was just yet an announcement. They want to make these big boards, but they are not in production yet.
Or is not in production yet. Hmm? This will be, needs funding, and it is planned. I know that Raptor Engineering has ported Core Boot to those AMD systems, but I don't know. I know that Raptor Engineering also does FPGA development, which I also do. And recently I heard about the free FPGA toolchain, which could be used to implement your own system up, but it is not a very performant system. But you could implement a feature such as a hardware watchdog easily.
Any more questions from the audience? Okay, then I'll ask another one. So what is the status of reverse engineering or replacing these blobs? Is anybody actually doing reverse engineering for any of these blobs?
I know that the graphics card engine have been reverse engineered, and that also for the Mali graphics cards there is some reverse engineering efforts, but I don't know the current state. But once such a reverse engineered software becomes available, it will to become packaged, and this takes some more time.
And have you ever contacted a hardware manufacturer? For example, AMD was very Core Boot friendly. They teamed up with Sage Engineering to bring Core Boot to their processors.
No, I did not. So I'm just a private user of LibreBoot. I switched half a year ago.
But maybe it would be an idea to ask
before
them.
Before I didn't even use Core Boot, I used U-Boot on some ARM systems. And this U-Boot is also free. And those LibreBoot machines, I was still waiting until one that is strong enough for my needs becomes available. And I have two of these laptops. The second one is used as a build server for building Debian packages. So if you need more power, you could try to build a cluster of several LibreBoot machines, because LibreBoot compatible machines are usually much cheaper than an i7 system. So a cluster of four LibreBoot machines is cheaper than an Intel i7.
Okay, any questions? If not, then let's say thank you again, and we will end this session.